This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The following is a paid program. The views or claims made are not necessarily those of WILK staff, management, or sponsors.
Good morning, Julie. How are you on this fine, beautiful day?
Doing great, Laurie. How are you? It's nice and cool
great out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's brisk and lovely, and we are taping Friday morning, opposed to our favorite Thursday. But I have a feeling that what it's supposed to look like this weekend, it will be one and the same today while you're listening to us. So let's hope, because I hear it's going to be a beautiful weekend and the perfect fall time to be out and about buying apples, raking leaves, whatever you do to go foliage sighting, having those type of sightings, and just get out there and have fun. So they were talking about it on the TV this morning about peak, tree color time. So let's see what happens. But I love to go. I love when you go down like a two-lane road and the leaves are blowing and the sun's coming in and the colors are almost glistening and the leaves are blown all over the road and the cars are it's such a cool thought when you think about. When I was little, we used to do that. My dad used to take us all the time, and I, in the back of a Ford station wagon with the panel on the side, the whatever they were called, that wood paneling, and no seatbelts, and we, two of us would be in the back seat, the back with the seats that popped up, and two of us in the middle, and my mother and father, and sometimes if my Nana went, she'd be in the middle of the two of us in the middle seat. It was fun, and we always had a good time. We would stop our favorite restaurants or bring a little picnic, and it was just always such a fun time just to get in the car. And to this day, Julie, I love going for rides anywhere. Sometimes, like, Meyer and I will be out, and we're on our way home, and I said, you know what? Can we just go for a ride downtown or just go for a little ride around? I just don't. Yes. I feel like being in the car. And he'll, like, always indulge me, and we'll do it.
Yeah. It's relaxing. And we used to do that when we were kids, too. It was fun. And I can't imagine living somewhere where you don't get four seasons, because I really do. I love fall. I love that transition from summer into fall. And I love winter.
Too.
I mean, I like having the four seasons. This is one of my favorite times of year. So, and then, of course, Halloween is coming. So we like that. But it's really pretty this year, and I love it.
Yeah, and Julie, Julie and I are big fans of witches.
Oh, yeah.
And I love it, because I was on my way to the bank yesterday, to Fidelity in Greenridge, and I was going down Greenridge Street, and there's a house on the corner that has all witches, and they're all like, have like a cauldron in them. Isn't it cool?
Yeah.
I love it. I thought, I love it.
I know it. The displays. I do feel like Christmas is kind of stomping on Halloween's head this year a little bit in the digital space. I'm seeing an awful lot of overlap, which I don't love. I get it from a retail perspective but I want to focus on Halloween right now, because it's one of my favorite holidays, and the witch display, I saw it. I think they've done that before. I feel like,
I don't remember it. I don't remember it, Joel, but I'm in love with
it. It's well done. Yeah.
And there are witches out there now that look like they're flying in the air on a broom, and they light up, and they're really cool. There's a place up right near the old Turnpike Garage at the top of Drinker Street before you get on 81. And there's a house there that have a few of the skeletons, which I think I'm not a fan of skeletons, but
like
I think,
no.
But I do. Now, see, I'm not a fan of skeletons, but I do like the way some people have these things displayed. See, to me, as long as it's tastefully done, I don't care what, you know, it can be overkill as long as it's tasteful overkill. And I think some of these people really have gone all out, and they're really, really neat displays. There's a house on the corner. It's still considered, well, it's considered Dunmore, but the two guys live there, and they're remodeling this house, and they're doing a beautiful job with it. And they have a real cool, some skeletons in their front, and then the next street down on North Washington is where the witches are, and it's so cool. I love it. But up at that place on Drinker Street, they have the skeleton where his underneath his rib cage all lights up and his eyes light up, and then the witch is flying. She's purple and she's flying in midair, and she's got some colored eyes, and her eyes go on and off. It's really cool. But any witch, I have witches in my house because I love them, and they're just the neatest thing. And I love being called a witch. I don't care that I am. I love everything about it, and I just think they're the coolest broads. And I know you think the same thing.
Yeah, I do, because I do dress as a witch every Halloween, and I have done so, as an adult, probably for almost 15 years now in a row. I think that's just kind of my thing. I have multiple witch hats. I really don't have to, I never had to buy a costume, because it's so easy. It kind of does itself. Like any black dress.
Well, putting a hat on, yeah.
Hat,
but even with the hat, Julie.
Yeah,
throw a hat on, you're a witch.
I feel alive when I put that hat on. And if it was socially acceptable to wear that witch hat more than just on Halloween, I totally would do it.
Yeah.
I totally would do it. And I was a witch as a kid for Halloween, like multiple times, too. I just always loved it. That was my favorite costume. My mother used to sew our costumes when we were young, you know, every year something new. But I was able to recycle the witch costume that she made for me, because she was so smart. She made like a black cloak, and it was very flowy and beautiful, but it was simple. And to make it sparkly, she put tin foil stars on it. And so they would get, you know, ratty after one wear, but each year she would just replace those stars. And
yeah.
I don't think I grew a lot year to year, I guess, because it still fit. I don't know. I was small, so it didn't matter, and I didn't grow a lot. And I got multiple years out of that same costume. And I remember her saying, you know, don't you want to do something different? And I was like, no, what are you, crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is it, man. Like, before that, now I was many different things. I was a clown one year. I really thought that I was going to fake everybody out with that costume because of all the face makeup. People still knew it was me because my eyes, they could tell. But so I should have worn a full mask. Lesson learned there. But I was a clown once, and I was a Greek goddess once, and you know, different things, but I always kept coming back to that witch.
Yeah. Witches are the best, and I was a witch once too, and I happen to have a picture, and you do of yours, so you're going to post them on social media, the pictures of us. And one year, son Tommy wanted to be a witch. And he said, I want to be, and I think he saw my picture of me as a witch, so he was a witch. And I swear, if you put them together, you don't know who is who.
Wow.
It's just so funny.
That's so cute.
Yeah, it really is. So, and what I do with my kids every year, I send them something that's getting to the point where I don't have any more to send without duplicating. But I send them a picture of themselves when they were little, at Halloween, and I send it. I send them a text quote with, you know, Happy Halloween, circa whatever year that it was, and I send them, so they have their own little supply of, because I go through their photo albums, all the old actual photo albums when they were little, and flip through and get all the pictures of their Halloween costumes, take pictures of it, and then I resend them to them on Halloween every year. And one time it was so cute. Tommy, he was living in San Francisco, and I sent it late that day. I was like, oh, my God. It was like 10:30 at night or something, and I'm like, oh, I forgot to send. So I took the pictures, and Tommy sends back a note. Now, he was three hours behind us. So okay. He sent back a note, and it was the cutest thing, and this is how I knew that they liked me to do it. He wrote back and said, I've been waiting for this.
Aww.
Which I thought was the cutest thing, because I thought, yes. Oh, he literally was waiting for me to do it, because that's what I do every year.
Yeah,
so,
tradition.
Sometimes it's a duplication. It doesn't matter. It still just reemphasizes how cute they were and what they looked like. And like Sean, I have it hanging in a closet. Sean was a panda bear one year, and my friend Kathy McCormick actually made it for me. I wanted him to be a lion, but it was a little more time-consuming and the time constraint we had, so she couldn't do the lion, so we did the panda bear, and he's absolutely adorable. It was his first, he was 10 months old, and it was his first Halloween, and that's what he was. And I just, they were so cute. Tommy was a Dalmatian. My mother-in-law had bought him a zipper-up one-piece, and it wasn't a Halloween costume, but it was a Dalmatian. And you put the hood on, and when you pulled the hood, it had the ears and the spots and the of the Dalmatian. It was the cutest thing, beautifully made. And so that became his Halloween costume for his 10-month, because my kids are born in the same month. So they were the same age at Halloween. So anyway, that became his first. That was so cute. And he was a clown the second year, Jewel. And I love that picture with the hat and the rat. I put red cheeks on him. And Sean had the same thing, brown nose and red cheeks for the panda bear on his face. It was so cute. But, yeah, those are the days. But we're going to post our Halloween. And one year, I have to tell you this story, my mother, my sister and I were in brownies, and my mother made our costume, and we were pumpkins. So we had on black tights and a black t-shirt, long sleeve t-shirt. And then the pumpkin was all around, like from our, you know, above our hip, like you would wear like a bodysuit. And it was a pumpkin orange material. And then my mother had stripes, black stripes going down to look like the indentation of the pumpkin. And we had to put a pillow in front of us and a pillow behind us. And my mother cut out the eyes with black felt and looked like a jack-o'-lantern. And then she had a greenish-brown felt mask that pulled over our head with the eyes and the nose and the mouth cut out. So, but it had a little bit of a point, so it looked like the stem of the pumpkin. So that was the top, and then the pumpkin around us was the pumpkin, and we were mortified going up the street to our where our brownies was only like half a block up the street on Orme Street at this church, and we went to brownies in the basement of the church. And my sister and I were like a year apart, and we were walking up there together, and we were like, felt like Oompa Loompas, because, you know, you have these skinny little legs and this big round pumpkin. And guess what? We won best costume that year.
Of course you did.
In brownie.
It sounds great.
Yeah.
Do you have a picture
of that?
It was
beautifully done. Yeah. What? No. I, you know what? We probably did, but I can't find it. No, but I will never forget it, because we were more than we won. Like, even though we won, it didn't take away our embarrassment.
Right.
Because
I get it.
Who wants to, what kid wants to walk up with skinny little popsicle legs with this big middle of two pillows stuffed in a pillow in the front and a pillow in the back to plump out the pumpkin? It was hysterical. But think about that. And here we are walking up the street with the felt head. It was so cute.
It must have been a sight.
Yeah, it was a sight. It was adorable. But anyway, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening this morning to The Laurie Cadden Show. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Laurie Cadden Show. I'm Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business. And with me is our producer, Julie D. Immel of Julie D. Immel Communications. Jewel?
Thanks, Laurie. I do public relations and marketing in northeastern Pennsylvania and beyond. To learn more about how I can help you promote your business or nonprofit, just visit my website at juliedimmel.com.
Yay!
Yay!
So, Jewel, we're soloing it unless our girl is able to join us. If not, she'll be here next week. Leah, she had something going on this morning, so if she can, she'll be in on the last segment. If not, it'll be you and me for the whole show, the whole
workout,
the
workout.
Whole time. Yeah, I suddenly wanted to pull a Sally Fields and Mrs. Doubtfire and say the whole time. Love that when she finds out that Mrs. Doubtfire is really her ex-husband and
I remember it well.
Oh, that is one of my favorite movies ever. And my kids, like, especially Tommy, he quotes so much of Mrs. Doubtfire because that when he was, I think I've said this before, but when he was a baby, little boy, he used to watch the Wizard of Oz on a loop. As soon as it was over, he would say, "Again, Mama, again," because then I had to go back in and put it in again, because it was, of course, the tapes back then, the cassette, the big, whatever the hell they are. Oh, my God. Those are the days.
Yes, I remember it well. In some ways, it was easier than coping with 700 streaming services that you're paying for.
Yes, I know, that you're paying. Right, exactly.
Life was easier before they made everything easier. You know what I mean?
I know. Yeah.
But listen, I wanted to tell you, we were talking about Halloween and Halloween's past and how we're going to post pictures on the Laurie Cadden Show Facebook page. And my witch picture is MIA right now.
You can't find it?
Yep. Nope. I asked my mom for it. As soon as we discussed this last week, I said to my mom, I'm like, do you have... You know, can I have a couple Halloween pictures? Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then she has reported back to me that she has searched everywhere. And here's the weird thing. The picture that we wanted to use, now it might turn up, was taken by my Uncle Robert when I was little. And I wanted, you know, the first place we would go trick-or-treating would be to my grandma's house in the hill section. So my uncle was really into photography, and he was very good, and he had all the equipment and everything, and he took great photos of us at Halloween. And so there's a note that my mother found from my grandma to me with the Halloween picture, because remember, back at that point, everything was prints, so it was the print of the photo after the fact. And there was a note in there from my grandma that she thought it came out really good and that she hoped I could go back to school soon. So I'm thinking I overdid it maybe on Halloween candy or something, got sick, and I must have missed school that week. And that must have been what that was about. So she found the note that was with the picture, but not the picture. So.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. I know. It's the whole thing now. And now we're like, okay, we're missing a whole bunch. You know, this place is like...
Do you have other pictures? Do you have any other pictures?
She didn't... There's a whole bunch that she just... See, here's what she did. I'm sure that she put them somewhere safe. And now just
and forgets where she puts them. Say, how about that?
Correct.
When you do that,
yeah,
I do that.
Yes, we all.
You know what? I
all do
the that. Only reason I know where mine is because in one of my many antique curio cabinets, because I have four of them in my house, and one of them was from my wonderful, beautiful Aunt Margie, who was my great aunt. She was my nana, my mother's grandmother, my mother's mother's sister. And she lived in Philadelphia, and she had one child by the name of Tom, and he passed away when she was living, and she was the greatest. And she moved back from, she lived in Upper Darby, and she moved back here to Scranton and spent the remaining years of her life here with us, and she lived in an apartment on Lincoln Avenue in good old West Side, not far from my sister and my mother, sort of in between my mother and my grandmother. And my aunt was the best. I absolutely adored her. And she became someone because both my aunts, both my Aunt Margie on my mother's side and my Aunt Mary on my dad's side, my dad's only sister, lived in Bucks County, and my aunt lived in, I think, Upper Darby. I'm trying to think, is that Montgomery County? Or Delaware, I think it's Delaware County. And so I would see both of them, you know, mostly my aunt, because she would watch Tommy for me at times. If I had to run during the day, I would drop her off. And anyway, she had this beautiful old curio cabinet. And when she moved, she gave me this, she said she left it to me when she passed. And so anyway, it's in there. And in that cabinet, is a really cool black frame with three pumpkins, jack-o'-lanterns on the top, and my witch costume is in the picture frame. So
perfect.
That is beautifully displayed in my spare bedroom in this cabinet, and so I know exactly where it is.
Well, thank goodness. We'll find,
yes.
We will find mine, I'm sure, but right now it is MIA, so...
Well, hopefully. You have a while. We won't do it till next week, so you have a while.
Check it out. In the meantime, I want to encourage everybody listening to follow us on Facebook so that you're ready when we're ready. The Laurie Cadden Show on Facebook. Yes, it's a wonderland of stuff. You know what? And I do want to give a shout out to everybody who's been following and engaging with us. People are really having a good time with our posts, and your reunion post certainly generated a lot of traffic. So it's really nice that the people are listening and then joining us online.
Yeah, but I think those are cool, those pictures of, you know, you and your friends. And I have a brownie picture that I'm going to, because we're talking about brownies and in our last segment about not brownies, the wonderful food you can eat, but desserts, but brownies as in Girl Scouts, precursor to,
yeah,
Girl Scouts. I have a picture that Annette Blasey shared with us, but I have that too. I'm going to post that because it's absolutely adorable. And it's a big picture. And we were talking about this at our reunion, who went to Camp Laurel and who went to Camp Archibald, because Camp Archibald was overnight camp and Camp Laurel was day camp. And my friend, Linda,
Camp Laurel.
Yeah, and Linda, same area.
Okay.
I don't even know exactly where, but, and I don't know if it still exists. It probably doesn't, because, you know, Camp Archibald, well, there was an issue with that years ago. And people like Ginger Goodrich, Ginge, who was with the chamber for 100 years and retired recently, and she's a big advocate of helping with making sure Camp Archibald stayed to what it was. And I don't even know. I'm a little out of the loop on that, what's happening with that. But it was so much fun. But I went to Laurel. So there was the old song that you would sing, you know, Camp Archibald. And then so we said, Camp Laurel, hats off to thee. So we were singing that song at our reunion because you just remember it. You're in the bus and you're singing it. But I refused to do stay over camp because I did not want to rough it, so to speak, because my idea of camping is a weekend at the Four Seasons. So I thought I can't stand that. So I did not do it. I had a hard enough time doing scavenger hunts and having to go into bathrooms, outdoor bathrooms, and use those facilities. And just it was just not me. I've always been a little prissy about those things, and still am. And so I did not do the stayover camp. They did for, I think, a week or two. But we did the Camp Laurel, which was the day camp. And we have a picture of that with all of our cute little brownie and white and brown T-shirts and brown shorts and adorable, and knee socks. And it was just so cute. But anyway, we look at it, and I look back and think, oh, my God, we had so much fun doing those things. And so we were talking about that. So I am going to – I'll send you that. If we can post it, it's kind of a big picture. It's like a group photo. So I'll see. Maybe I'll just do a portion of the kids that we were with and do that, take a portion of it. Of course, I'll have to do the portion where yours truly is in. But anyway, we'll see.
I think we could get the whole thing. We have the technology.
You have the technology. I don't, but I will send it to you, and we will see. But yeah, those pictures are cute. Just to do some, you know, I'm going to post some old Third National Bank photos of friends and things that we did with my Third National Bank group of friends. I'm going to do that too. So I have to round up some of those photos. But anyway, other than that, we're all good and moving forward, Julie. But yeah, photos are, I hope you can find yours. I hope your mom's able to remember where she put the photos in the safe place.
She's in a state over this. Yeah, she'll find them.
Oh, no.
I know. She's like, oh, but I know that they're safe. I know that she put them somewhere secure, out of harm's way. You know, there's a lot of closets and a lot of storage space in the big old house there. So, I mean, there's a lot. You know the size of that house. It's a lot of nooks and crannies, and a lot of places where you can secure things. So she probably just needs to look in a different closet. I'm sure it's in a binder in an album somewhere. I know exactly the photo, though, that the note came with, and I think it's just so cute. And then, so my mom gave me the note, and I did put that away securely because this is my grandma's handwriting, and, you know, the little X's and O's at the bottom. It's so sweet.
Julie, and that house, your house is beautiful. I told you that Meyer always said, oh, my God, that's where Julie lives. I've been a fan of that house since I'm a young kid, just like young guy, when I would pay attention to the beauty of Scranton and the gorgeous architecture and the homes and the style of homes. And it's beautiful. It is beautiful. So I can imagine that there are all those things. Myrie said, he said, Laurie, I always used to think of that house when I would go by it and think of the Addams Family, because it just was so unique and beautiful and
it's
mysterious
really,
all at the same time.
Yeah. It's the Elizabethan architecture. So it predates. It predates Victorian times. It's an old house. And because it's set back and it's at the top of a hill and there are stone pillars and iron gates, you know, it's got that
appeal.
Spooky vibe. Yeah, it works really well at Halloween. And boy,
and it works
we take advantage of that over the years. Yeah.
Yeah, but Julie, it works well for your love of Halloween too. I mean, just living in a place that can look the part is cool. I know. I love that. It's a beautiful house. You live in an Elizabethan style, and I live in a Victorian. So how about that?
And I love your house and the way you decorate for the holidays.
Well, it's a pretty little
flair.
Victorian. It does.
Beautiful.
It's a pretty little place. It's and you know, Julie, I used to go to parties. We'll talk about that in a minute, because we're going to take a break, but I want to tell you the story of me across the street for many years and not even paying attention to this house. So anyway, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back. You're listening to The Laurie Cadden Show. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Laurie Cadden Show, and I am Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business. And with me is our lovely producer, Julie D. Immel of Julie D. Immel Communications, and best said by Miss Immel herself as to what she does.
Thanks, Laurie. I do marketing and public relations. To learn more about how I can help you promote your business or nonprofit, visit juliedimmel.com.
So as we were saying when we took our last break, Julie, I live on Jefferson Avenue in Dunmore. And so when I was dating my ex-husband, Tom Foley, for 4 years prior to us getting married, and then many years after, we would go to his Uncle John Foley and Joan Foley. They owned a beautiful home in on Jefferson Avenue. And so they would have Christmas night dinner. And so everybody, all the Foleys would be at Johnny's, and their cousins would be at Johnny's house for the holidays. And so Tom was the oldest grandchild. So, you know, we were the first ones, almost the first. I think Tom's cousin Helen got married before us. But we were there, and but that was on the Egan side. So the Foleys, I think Tom was we were the first. And so we would be there across the street from where I live. Now, it wasn't directly across. It's one down, but across the street. And so I never really paid attention to this house. I don't know why. I don't remember seeing it. Now, I remember my neighbor's house only because I knew the guy who owned it was a Westsider, and he had built this house. He tore down a house that was there and built this house, and it was in the process of being built, and he and his wife were going to move in, and the wife passed away before they were able to move. So he ended up moving in himself, and so he was then my neighbor when we bought our house. And so I don't really remember looking at this house or seeing it and thinking, it's so pretty, blah, 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 blah. So for years and years, every Christmas, I would be across the street at a party and probably parked in front of it several times, just didn't even pay attention. And so when Tom and I got married, we lived in Philadelphia for a while. And matter of fact, Tommy was born while we were living there. And then we moved back in 1991 to Dunmore for a brief period of time. And then we moved to Buck Hill Falls and then to East Stroudsburg. And then we decided that we wanted to move closer, you know, whether it was back to wherever. We didn't know where. So when Joni Foley, who was acting as our real estate agent at the time, I had my license, was hung with John Foley's sister, Mary Ann, had an ERA, speaking of our dear friend Sunita, she owned an ERA franchise in Stroudsburg. So I wasn't doing work, but my license was hung there. So when I sold my house or bought my house, then I was the agent on the other side. So it kind of worked out nicely. But anyway, Joan Foley, who was also a realtor with her husband, John, said, I want to show you this house across the street from us. And we were looking more in the Moscow area just because Tom was working in Stroudsburg. And we thought it wouldn't be that bad of a commute for him. But so we decided to look at a few houses in Dunmore, which is where Tom grew up. So Joan said, there is a house right across the street from us, and I'd like to show you it. And I said, I don't remember it. So anyway, when we came to the house and pulled up, I don't know why, I didn't remember. The porch needed to be redone. It was beautiful. It was an old Victorian, and the porch needed to be done, and it was pale yellow. And I love yellow houses. I just love a yellow house. So I thought we came up, we walked up the steps, and I remember saying to Joni, Joan, I don't even remember this house. I just don't remember it. And so we walked in the front door, and as Leah was talking about last week, when you know you have to come back a couple times, Julie, I'm telling you, the minute I walked into the front door and looked at the house. Now, aesthetically, it wasn't what I wanted, but the bones of the house, I looked from the foyer, from the door. It's a narrow foyer where the steps go up to the right-hand side, and then the foyer goes back into the dining and then through the kitchen, and then there are two rounded doorways, arch doorways into the living room, because the living room is huge. And I remember looking in, and at the soonest, and I still have that feeling, the minute I walked in my front door, I knew that this was the house for me. I knew it. I didn't even go to another room. I didn't know what it was. I knew nothing. I just knew that was what this house is what I wanted.
Mm-hmm. When you know, you know.
Lo and behold, here we are. Here I am in the same house since 1995. Next year will be 30 years that we're here. I love this house. I've done a lot of work to it and with it, and it needs more, but it's a great house, and I absolutely love it. And I knew from the second I walked in, I thought this is exactly where I want to be. Yep. And so here we are today, 29 years to the month later, in this house, and I love it, and it's a charming little Victorian, and and then the history of it, Julie, like the people who owned it or the Paytons own the house, and their mom had been married before and had two boys, and then she married Bob Payton, and they had three girls together, and then so they all grew up in this house, and both of the Payton mom and dad, both of Nancy's, because I'm just going to use Nancy because she and I are still buddies. When they died, their sister Connie and her husband bought the house, and they were here with their children until they moved, and they were the ones selling when we bought it. And Nancy one day knocked on my door and came up to visit, and she told me who she was, or she called me, I think, and she said, I wanted to knock on your door, but I was afraid you'd think I was a lunatic. So she called me one day, and she said, I would love to come back and see the house. And so every year in August, Nancy would come. She lived in the Philly area. And she would come back, and I would have a couple other people over who knew and remembered the Paytons and hanging out with them. And we would have dinner on my deck, four or five of us. And Nancy would look at all the updates and all the changes that I made. And she would tell me the story about her living in the back room. Her bedroom was the back room, which is my office. And she that's where her bedroom was. And she would come back every year, and we would reminisce and go over all of the things. And then I found she had given me this paper, news clipping from the house, because years and years and years before that, there was a mystery here where a woman died in this house, and her husband was a hairstylist on his office. His salon was on the 300 block of North Washington, and she was found dead at the bottom of the steps of the basement steps. And it was all this big article in the paper. It was really cool. So, I mean, not that that happened, but just so a picture of what the house looked like, you know, many years and years ago before siding went on and all this kind of stuff. But yeah, the story is bizarre. So Nancy gave me that. I still have all of that, which I should go and research again at the Historical Society. But anyway, all those things, and Nancy would come. Well, she's since moved to Pittsburgh. She got remarried and moved to Pittsburgh. And so I don't see her that often, but we always keep in touch on Facebook, and we always say, you know, the old 1508. And she just had a recent picture posted of she and her siblings. And is it she or her? Did I say that correctly? Jill, you know me, Miss Grammar. Check it out.
Her siblings?
She, right? She and her siblings, correct, right?
She and her siblings, yes.
That's okay. After I said it, did I say that correctly? Anyway, fact check. So they were, and I said, oh, my God, it's so good to see all of the group from 1508. And so we just go back and forth, and it was so good to have her here all those years in a row to just see the changes and to know a little bit more about the place. And that's kind of neat because you have that living history and her being able to tell me stuff. And then her brother, she had two older brothers, and one of them, I'm almost positive was the, or he's probably retired now, but was the principal at, Notre Dame High School in Stroudsburg. And Tommy, when we lived in Stroudsburg, Tommy went to Notre Dame for kindergarten because we lived in the East Stroudsburg area then, so that's where Tommy went to school. It was just so weird, and so that connection was there even though he was in the high school. And then his principal at Notre Dame was in the elementary, was the sister of his sister of his principal when he went to St. Claire. His sister, her real life sister, both of them nuns, were sisters, and each of them were principals of two different elementary schools, one in Monroe County and one in Lackawanna County. So all of those connections just all were weird with that 1 year of Notre Dame, and then where we moved to the house. And it was, the degrees of separation are bizarre. But anyway, yeah, so that was it. And we were able to get all those pieces together and just to kind of know, you know, who was here. And this house used to be a duplex. The upstairs was one
really?
Level. And my room, which was Nancy's bedroom, my office, which was where Nancy's room was, that was the kitchen. And so there were two old cabinets still that I use for storage and stuff in my office, and in between the window facing south of my house is where I don't know how people lived with two cabinets in the kitchen was that's all it was, but seriously, that's where the kitchen was. And where the steps came up, you could enter from the side of my house, and where the steps came up, there is now, you can see the steps in when you open my cellar door. You can see the steps that are still above, which led into the upstairs, which is where they made like this long, deep closet, which it is great because it's. So I mean, those are the things, but it's funny. It's just all these neat things. But yeah, so those are to know the history of your house and really know it and know it from people who lived there before you, that's really a cool thing. And when she called me and said, I keep going by and my siblings drive by and they look at the house, but none of them had the nerve to call you and I'm the one who's calling and I loved it. And she and I are dear friends because of that. So I said, well, you picked the right girl to make the phone call to because I love all this stuff. So anyway, that's a little history of 1508 Jefferson.
Cool. There you go.
Yeah.
I love
nice
that you
know
the history of it. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It really is.
Sure.
We should write this down at some point.
Well, it's written down in my head, Joel, but we'll.
I know, but yeah. I mean, I need to extract it from your brain and write it on paper. No, so that you have like a documentation. I should do the same for my family's home. There's a lot of history.
Yeah, because it is
too.
Beautiful. That's a beautiful
it's
house,
old,
Julie.
So.
Oh, my God.
And there's
it is old, but that's the beauty. They don't build them like they did, Jewel.
No,
it's just
they don't.
Beautiful. So those are the things you got to do and keep it. That's what I love about, like, all of my rooms upstairs are like a T with the way that it's a skinny, narrow hallway and all the rooms shoot out. And then downstairs, every room is his own room. It's not an open concept. And I like that.
I like that.
I do too. I like individual rooms. I just love it. So I'm happy to have this old place and I love it. But anyway, so we're going to leave you for this morning. And we thank you so much for listening as always. And we will be back next week. In the meantime, enjoy this gorgeous weekend that'll be ahead for you. And again, thank you. And we'll see you then. Have a great weekend. Be safe. Be safe. And please be nice. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.